I want to just share with you guys tonight, talking about the title of this is the Entering the Kingdom of God. And I just kind of shortened it down. Now, when you first look at this teaching, it's one of those things where it can come off seeming negative, but there's a real purpose behind it that's absolutely critical to us and a blessing for us if we'll pay attention. All right. Acts 14:19 says, Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered round him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, I believe he was in Lystra when this happened, but just this beginning part is that, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're, and you got to understand, before this, in Acts 14, before this, what happens is from the beginning, Paul's there preaching and he's got a group of people and he's preaching to these Gentiles and he sees this guy. He's preaching the gospel. He's preaching faith. He's preaching Jesus. And he sees this guy who has faith to be healed. He sees it. And the guy is lame, right? He can't walk. He can't stand up or anything. And he's lame. And so Paul sees that he has faith to be healed. And he yells out to him, he says, stand upright on your feet. And the guy jumped up and was instantly healed. The whole city hears about it, and all of a sudden they come and they're bringing sacrifices, thinking that Paul's like, I don't know who it is that like they thought that Barnabas was Zeus and Paul was the main speaker, whoever that is, I forget, some gods, okay? And they had to restrain these guys to stop them from sacrificing to them because they thought the gods had come down to them. And so Paul gets out of that. He gets it to correct it, you know, because they do a miracle. God's confirming his word. And then all of a sudden, you got all these people that are just, you know, idolaters coming in and wanting to sacrifice to you. And so they take care of that. Now, the next verse here is verse 19. It's at that point when the Jews come from Antioch and Iconium, and then they persuade the multitudes that Paul and Barnabas are these evil guys. And so they grab Paul, they stone him, all right? They think he's dead. They drag him out of the city. And it's interesting because when I looked up the word drag there, it means to drag by the feet. So a couple of guys got a hold of the feet, you know, and they just drug him out of the city on his back and left him out there. And what's really interesting in verse 20, it says, however, when the disciples gathered around him, I always kind of assume they gathered around him praying, but that word gathered around there is it actually carries a different, kind of a different meaning. And there really, it brings it out. It says to surround, encircle, encompass of persons standing around. They're just standing there. So these people follow out that have been listening to Paul preach. They got born again. They're his new disciples. They don't know what to do. They just follow him out. And they're just standing there looking at him. And then Paul gets up. Now, it says they supposed he was dead. There's a real possibility Paul wasn't dead. Paul does refer to, you know, once in the scripture, somewhere, I don't remember where it's at, but he refers about a person who saw the third heaven, you know, and he goes, I'll brag about that person, but not about me. And some people think it was him when he got stoned that he went up there. But it's entirely possible they just knocked him out real good and then he came back, you know, became conscious again. But when I look at this, it's intense because there's a couple things I see out of this that's really important for us, is that sometimes when you're working for God, you can end up being in a position where you're on your own. And that was Paul. Paul was on his own. Even they didn't have the mental wherewithal to even pray for him. They just were standing around. They gathered around and just kind of standing there looking at him like, what do we do now? You know? And then Paul just came, you know, he regained consciousness and got up. And it says he rose up and went into the city. He didn't even like pay any attention to them. He just got up and went into the city. The next day, you know, him and Barnabas leave. They head for Derbe. All right? And so, you know, you see here that Paul understands. He understood that, you know what, this is between me and God. And the problem with these guys, the problem with them is that they're seeing this extreme form of persecution against Paul because of the Jews, not necessarily even because of the Gentiles. It was because of the Jews. And the Jews, you know, they came in, stirred it up, and got them to stone him. And these guys did not realize the cost that might happen because of following Jesus, serving Jesus. You guys understand that, right? I mean, this, there could be a cost. And the way the gospel gets preached sometimes, it's befuddling. You know, it's one of those things where it's like people, all they do is talk about all the blessings, all the good things, and that, you know, God will make you rich, or God will take care of you, and he'll fix your broken life. And they don't realize that, you know, people don't realize what they're signing up for, that they're signing up for a life that there could be some persecution. There could be persecution involved in this. Now, one of the things that Paul did say to one of the churches, and I don't remember which one it is now, but he told him, he says, you know, we're accounted as scum of the earth. We're the ones persecuted so that you guys could be free. We're the ones that are in poverty so that you can be made rich. And so I really believe that a lot of what they did was, you know, they took the brunt of the persecution so that, you know, the people that they were ministering to wouldn't. You know, and there was a couple of times, like when Paul was in this one, I don't remember where it was. I don't know if it was Iconium, but, you know, this huge uproar of Diana and all this kind of stuff. And they grabbed Jason, and he had been staying at Jason's house, and they grabbed Jason, took him into the square. And they, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, Paul was like wanting to go in there and try, and everybody was holding him back saying, you can't go in there. They'll kill you. You know, and they wouldn't let him go in there. And Jason went in there on his own. He was on his own. I mean, he's just, you know, helping the guy out. He believed. He fell in love with God, obviously. But yet he was there all on his own. And Paul wanted to go in there and stand side by side with him, but they wouldn't let him do it. Nobody else went in. And you'll notice Barnabas didn't go out there to try and save him. I mean, you know, they grabbed Paul. Barnabas is like, if I go, they're going to kill me too. One of us has got to keep going, you know. And, you know, Jesus told his disciples, he says, when they persecute you in one city, flee to another. You know, and Paul had to get let down out of a walled, you know, room, you know, in a basket to escape being put in prison or killed. You know, this happened over and over again to these guys, and they set themselves, and the fact that they lasted as long as they did. I mean, there's a real chance that Paul probably died in his 60s, but he was martyred, you know? And by then, you know, you hit your 60s, having the strength to continue traveling like they did on foot would get really difficult. But he, you know, they just kept going. These guys didn't know quit, you know, and they left us that example. And so he goes on in verse 21, and he says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, now they went to Derbe, and it says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, and this is something that I really want to bring out here. Yeah, let me bring it out, and then I'll keep going. And made many disciples. Actually, made disciples is one word, and it's the word mathetuo. And it literally means to make a disciple, to teach, instruct. And that's from there. And so if you look at a lot of times the usage of the word disciple is actually the word mathetes, you know, mathete. It's a learner, somebody who's a pupil, who studies. And the more I've been getting into the word and understanding about disciples, like Jesus told in John 8, he says, if you continue in my word, what does he say? If you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples. And then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so, I mean, the first step for us as disciples and really following after God is becoming learners. You know, and guys, I'm going to just tell you, as men, you know, and in our homes, and even on our own, you know, in our homes, and I mean, I know not everybody here is married, but those of you that are married, I mean, one of the best things that we can do to demonstrate Jesus in our lives is be students of the word, be students that are learning, that want to learn. And, you know, no matter where we're at, as far as even our ability to learn, it doesn't matter. You know, we plug at it and keep going and seek to learn, to grow and understand and get to know God, get to know Jesus, get to know, you know, what the gospel means for us and what Jesus did for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And as we do that, you know, we become true disciples at that point. Now, I started talking about bearing fruit, right, on Sunday, and I'll finish it up this Sunday probably. In bearing fruit, we're required to bear fruit. But the first fundamental concept of being a disciple is being a learner. You guys understand that? Is being somebody who's committed to learning. And I'm going to just say this. If you are struggling with picking up your Bible at all, you know, throughout the week to even sit down and read some of the word, you got to understand that what God sees, he's not seeing, you know, he's not seeing you trying to be a good husband or you trying to be a good person or you trying to walk with Jesus. He sees somebody that's not willing to grow. And that's not truly a disciple. God's looking for us to grow. He's looking for us to be disciples. Amen. And so for us as men, we can set a major pace just by being men of the word, growing, learning, gaining knowledge and understanding. And that's why when you read a lot of Paul's prayers, his prayers center around that we would grow in the knowledge of him in some level. You know, that we would be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. All right, and so on. I mean, there's multiple scriptures, prayer scriptures that he gets into that distinctly. And I know because I pray them over us, you know. But that's the thing, that's the main thing, is that God wants us to become learners. Amen. And it's funny because the word many there is actually the word hikanos. And there's different words for the word many, but this one is like polus means many, much or a lot or many. This one here, hikanos, means competent, as if coming in season, ample in amount, or fit in character. That's what that one means. That's what hikanos means. So what he's looking to do, they made disciples. They taught them, and they taught enough to where they became competent in the word. They became fit in character. And that's why Paul, they would leave and go on about their business because they raised up enough that were fit in character, enough that were, you know, that were competent, that were coming into season. And they would be there. I mean, the longest Paul ever stayed anywhere was like a year and a half, 2 years. You know, except in Rome. He was in Rome for 2 years under house arrest. I did some research on it and found out that most likely when he went before Caesar, they just let him go because there was no Jews there, you know, to come against him, to answer the charges. And so there was a real chance that he was just let go. And then he continued on his way. And then eventually Nero came along because the timing is what's interesting. The timing of when he was going to Rome, it was a different Caesar. It was, I don't know if it was Augustus or who it was. It wasn't Augustus. It was one after him. Tiberius, I think it was. I can't remember now. But it was before Nero, and Nero was the one that supposedly, you know, martyred Paul. But when he went to Rome, there's this discrepancy that at the time period that he went to Rome, there was a different Caesar that was ruling. And so there's a chance that he stayed in Rome for a while and then ended up being martyred while he was there. Now, so this whole thing of this goal that God had for them. And remember what Jesus said in Matthew 28. You know, he told his disciples, he said, go therefore into all the world, you know, and make disciples, right? Teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And, you know, we've been so focused on trying to get people to pray a prayer. And I'm coming to the place where I'm wondering if that's even scriptural. I mean, to confess the Lord Jesus doesn't mean you pray and confess him, it means you believe from that moment on. Think about who it was that the Holy Spirit took away after he ministered to the Ethiopian eunuch.
Enoch?
Huh?
Enoch?
No.
Philip.
He, God told him to go talk to him, and he picked up on, the guy was actually reading Isaiah, and he goes, yeah, I need somebody to explain what this means to me. And he started teaching from there, and he started teaching Christ, started preaching Jesus, started teaching him. He didn't ask him if he wanted to get saved. That Ethiopian eunuch asked him, he goes, there's water. What stops us from being baptized right now? And he says, well, if you believe with all your heart. I mean, Philip was just doing his job to teach the word, preach the word, you know, share the word. He wasn't trying to make a Christian or get him born again. He was just putting the word out. And that guy on his own said, I believe. I want to be baptized. So Philip said, fine. They got down in the water. He goes under, baptizes him. When he comes up, Philip's gone. And Philip finds himself on the road someplace, on some desert road someplace else. And he goes down that road, goes into little cities and keeps preaching Jesus, little towns. He doesn't stop. But the declaration of the gospel goes beyond just declaring, you know, Jesus saves. It teaches, it explains, it opens it up for people's understanding so that they know why they're to believe. They understand what it means for them. And these guys taught faith. They taught all kinds of things. You know, they didn't just, you know, they taught faith in the name of Jesus. They taught the name of Jesus. They taught salvation through Christ. By grace, you're saved. Paul talks about that a lot. Amen. But never did they once, you know, and I believe that if a person sincerely believes, like that Ethiopian eunuch, that if they sincerely believe, they get born again. But if you think about what Peter did in Cornelius's house, they were Gentiles. God had to convince him to go to that house to go preach the gospel to him. They got in there and started sharing the gospel, and the Holy Spirit fell on them. I mean, they didn't get baptized or anything. They didn't make any confession or anything. They just started believing what Peter was saying. And the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they began to speak with tongues and prophesy.
They didn't even ask for it.
God just did it. It just happened. Amen. And so you got to understand that our walk with God is a very dynamic thing. It's very dynamic. It's not static. It's not something. I mean, there you come to a place where you're going after being steady and stable in Christ. But our walk is very dynamic. And a lot of things, you know, there's a lot of things that are dependent upon where we are going to stand on things, on what God's word says. And going down anyway, so they taught disciples, many of them, that and made them competent. That's what they did. They instructed them and they became competent. They returned, and it goes on to say they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. They went back. Paul went back to Lystra where he got stoned. I mean, he had to go back. Why did he have to go back? Because he had to strengthen the souls. And look at what he says here in verse 22. He says, and so they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. And where did the Jews come from that caused him to get stoned? They came from Antioch. So he left for a little bit and then came back. And he went right back through all the way back to where they were and didn't stop. And he says, strengthening the souls of the disciples. And the word strengthening there is the word episteriso, which means to support further, to reestablish. So they went back through and they had to do some reestablishing with some of those, with some of the believers, you know. And then it goes on to say, to establish besides, to strengthen more, or to render more firm. So where Strong's comes in and says, to support further and then reestablish. In other words, sometimes people start letting it go. You come back through. You're coming back through and you're reestablishing them. You know, you're getting them back on track in the word, getting them back on track in their walk. You know, and then there really hits it on the level of, you know, building them up even more and more, making them even stronger. So it's more than just getting them back on track. It's getting them back on track if they're off, and then making them stronger and stronger as they go. All right? And what are they strengthening? The souls. Where is the issue and the problem with our walk? In the sense of, where is it that we struggle in our walk? Where is it that we have a tendency to back off and quit, or we have a tendency to limit and not go any further? It's in our
souls.
In our souls. It's not in our spirits. It's in our souls. Our souls, they get weary. Our souls get, you know, they get carnal. They get tired. You know, if we let the flesh back in, it can really start killing your walk. Amen. So the souls of the disciples, and of course the word disciples there again is the word mathetes, and it, you know, it's talking about them being learners. So strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them. And I didn't put that in there because it's parakaleo, it's the typical, that word, and you know, it could be encouraging, it could be exhorting, it could be comforting. But in this case, it's really exhorting them. It's challenging them forward to continue in the faith. And it says it very specifically here. Luke put this in here. Exhorting them to continue in the faith. To continue in the faith. To not give up on Jesus. To not quit on their walk with God. You know, and of course the word continue here is not the word meno, it's the word emeno, which means to stay in the same place. To persevere. There defines it as to hold fast, to be true to, abide by, and keep. So it's keeping the faith, be true to the faith, abide by the faith, hold fast the faith, persevere in it, don't quit on it. And here's the reason they had to do this. Are you ready for this? Paul goes on to tell them. He says, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must. And the word must there is actually there. It's the word day, and it means that this is something that is owed of us. We must, through many. Now this here, the word many here is the word polus, which means a lot, much, many. For we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Now, the word tribulation there is the word thlipsis. And Thayer defines it as pressure. Metaphorically, it's oppression, affliction, tribulation, distress, straits. The word straits can mean difficulties or hardships. All right. I think we're all familiar with all that, right? We've all been through our share of tribulations, right? Through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. And of course, enter there, it just means to come into. Eisercomine. Or entrance into any condition, state of things. Let me back up here because I want to go over this definition a little bit for the word eisercomine and it for enter. There defines it as to go out or come in. Ercomine can mean to go out or come in. It doesn't just mean one. It could be either one. To go out or come in, to enter, metaphorically, of entrance into any condition, state, or state of things. All right? Entrance into any condition or state of things. And I want you to keep that in mind because I'm going to switch gears here in a minute. So that we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. And of course, you know, let me kind of stop there. This is part of us in our salvation, obviously. You know, this is, you know, he said, how are we going to enter into the kingdom of God if there's a lot of tribulations? It's going to require us being strengthened in our souls. It's going to require us continuing to learn. It's going to require us to continue in the faith. You guys understand that, right? Those three things are critical for us. That if we quit on the faith, we're done. Somebody gives up on the faith and they just go about their business. Yeah, I believe. So what? Let's go. They're done. Because if you don't continue in the faith, the implied result of that is that they won't survive the tribulations and they won't enter the kingdom of God. Amen? Now, there's a couple things that I want to unpack out of this. we need to get used to the idea and the fact. I'm going to call it a fact because the word says it. All right. You know, I came out of the Word of Faith movement, and I came out of it because I saw, you know, this is not the right, this isn't right. But it, what it did was it opened up my eyes. It helped me understand faith. It helped me get an awareness of how important faith is to me. I'm not even sure how many Christians actually know how important faith is to them. Amen. And how much did Jesus, let alone the disciples and the Word, Jesus himself, really reinforced faith a lot, especially with his disciples, training them and teaching them how to walk in faith and how to use their faith and get results with their faith. But I don't think, I think that most Christians are like that seed that's sown on shallow soil. It springs up and it's all, I mean, it gets dropped on the soil, it springs up and it starts to grow. And then when the sun comes up and beats on it, it withers away because it was shallow. It was in the shallow soil. It didn't, it had no root. And that's what it actually, that's what Jesus actually says it, because it had no root, it withered away. How do we get root? How do we become strong? How do we get the root that we need to endure tribulation? Because Jesus identified the sun coming up as being tribulation comes, and they quit. You know, they fade away. How do we get that root deepened to where tribulation doesn't shake us up?
We commit to endure the heat of the day.
That's part of it, but if you don't have the wherewithal to do that, will you last?
The Word, staying in the Word, I mean, constantly.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's right here. We've got to become learners. We got to continue to feed on that knowledge, grow in that knowledge. That knowledge, the Word, the knowledge of the Word is what deepens our root. All right? And, you know, we need to either get exhortation from somewheres, or we need to learn how to exhort ourselves to continue in the faith.
Is it better if we get it ourselves?
Yeah.
Instead of getting it from somewhere else, right?
Yeah, I mean, we all need to learn. So if you're getting it on your own, it's going to take you a little bit more time. But it's better in the long run. So if it's a little slower for you to do it on your own, you can't get discouraged. All right? Now, as pastors and teachers and so on, it's our job to feed you guys. You know, we feed you the Word, and that feeding of the Word is what strengthens the body. It helps strengthen them, because that's what they did. They went back and they strengthened the souls, exhorting them. So they were preaching the Word. They went back and taught them more, preached the Word, strengthened them up, getting them back on track, taking them further, and so on. So we need that. We all need that. I look for it other places, just like, you know, I may be pastor and teach our church, but I have to get it for myself from other places as well. I have to look for things that I'm not aware of, because you can become tunnel visioned, you know, and you need it. And even criticism. Sometimes I'll be online and social media and I'll hear people just ripping on the things that I believe. And I listen to that because it challenges me, you know. And when you can sit back and a lot of people, they start getting challenged on their faith and they just back off and quit. But for me, it's like I start examining what I believe, and all of a sudden all these things start coming up that verify what I believe. And then not even that, on top of that, as I'm reading the Word, God starts showing me other scriptures that confirm what I believe, what I know to be true. He verifies his Word. He validates the truth for us so that we have that confidence. But the key to the strength is feeding on that Word, letting that get your roots deeper and deeper. The other thing that actually will make your roots deeper is that tribulation. Because when you look at what it says, continue in the faith. When are you going to continue in the faith? when you're in the tribulation. And see, what Paul did was, the reason why Paul had to come back through again and begin to teach Lystra and all the way back is because news probably went all the way back to Antioch that he got stoned. And it's like, oh my God, is Paul alive? What happened? And he had to go back through and say, hey, look, man, we're all going to face tribulation. We got to continue in the faith. That's the thing that's going to help us. Amen. And so in the face of the heat, you know, you persist. You know, just like what Brian was bringing, the persisting in that heat, staying in that, you know, that unwillingness to quit. But as you feed yourself, it strengthens you. But as you persist and continue in the faith, you start going deeper to draw life, to draw nutrient, to draw what you need from God. Amen. And you'll actually start pulling that right out of the word as you're going down. But it's in that persistence, that determination to stay, to continue in the faith. Amen.
I just want to say this. And even though when Paul was stoned, he wasn't fearful of going back. Like you said, he went, you know, he's like,
went through.
The tribulation, you know, yeah. Like I'm not gonna allow fear and those other people to stop me. Stop the word of.
I mean, it's like when he went back to Jerusalem, you know, when he gets back there and, you know, and Agabus had prophesied, you know, he took his belt off him, tied up his hands and feet. He said, you know, the person whose belt this is going to be bound up when they in Jerusalem. The Jews are going to bind you up. They're going to tie you down. And so he gets back and the first thing they do is, oh, we've got some guys that are prepared. You got to pay their vows and you got to take them in. And they, because he did it right away, those people that were in the temple thought that he brought, because they saw him come into the city with some Gentile men. And he thought he brought them into the temple, when he didn't. He brought Jewish men in. And they took him and beat him to almost to the point of death, to where he was so beaten that he couldn't even stand up. They had, when the centurion came down with his cohort, they came down and grabbed him. They had to carry him up. But he knew what was waiting for him. Paul's way through. He didn't skirt around. Now, there were times when, you know, they knew that death was right there and God's like, get out of here. You know, I'm sure God warned him. But at the same time, though, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, listen to me. You're all looking at that concept of tribulation as being this ultimate thing that's going to be the ultimate test of your faith. But tribulation is just pressure. That the word thlipsis just means pressure. That pressure could be smaller things, you know, strife in the home, you know, not feeling healthy. You know, you don't feel good. You're like, you know, it's banging against your faith. You know, where's your God? Where's the healer? I thought he healed you. You know, what's going on? It could be a conglomeration of smaller things that are just continuing to hit you and hit you and hit you. And you're getting victories, but what's happening is you're continuing to go through stuff. The goal of that is to wear you down, to make you quit. And you're going to have to come to the place of saying, I don't care what I'm going through. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it looks like. I'm not stopping. I am going to go through. I am getting the victory. Amen. You know, and sometimes people, you know, they think that because they didn't have the faith to get the full victory, you know, that they fail God. You know, even when we're faithless, he still stays faithful. That doesn't change. You know, I mean, if you got to go to the doctor and you're not getting any results in your prayer and what you're believing for healing, and you got to go to the doctor and get help, that's not your. I mean, even in the face of what might look like a failure, God's still faithful. He is. That doesn't change him. He'll still help you. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. You know, where people, I mean, just God just kept helping them along until they. You know, they were no longer on the road to death. You know, It's okay. Amen. Now, so we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Now, for you guys, what I want you to get a hold of here is that, you know, I make the living for the family here, you know, for my wife and I. And I've learned how to handle the trouble and the pressure and everything else that comes through, you know. And I set myself to be that example, you know, here in my home, that I'm gonna continue in the faith, and I'm gonna push through any trouble that I run into. All right. That doesn't mean that Eva doesn't go through trouble. That doesn't mean that Brian doesn't go through trouble or Andy doesn't go through trouble. But because I've set the pace in the sense of that, in overcoming and saying, you know what, I'm going to go through this. I'm not afraid of tribulation. I'm going to get the victory. Whatever's born of God overcomes the world. And Romans 8, you know, 35 through 37 confirms that, you know, all these things are arrayed against us, you know, nakedness, peril, sword, famine, you know, persecution, all of it, we're more than conquerors of through him who loved us. And so if we have the right mindset, then it becomes a matter of, we're just going to count up a bunch of victories. You know, we're going to gain a bunch of victories as we do this. But in doing something like this, what happens is that you set the pace, you become the example, and you become strong. You become strengthened. You know, your soul gets stronger. It gets harder for the devil to get to you and to shake you. Amen. Now, God showed me. He said, you know, he's going to shake heaven and earth. He told me, he said, things are coming, you know, that are coming in the land. He says, and, you know, and he goes, I'm going to give your life to you as a prize wherever you go. So that's the promise to me. I might end up in a place where all of a sudden there's a riot, but God's going to give me my life as a prize. I'm going to survive. I'm going to make it through. You know, I'm not going to be fearful of that. And I've already seen God do that in my life. So, I mean, I know he's capable. Now, so we need to get used to the idea that, you know what, trouble is just part of what we're going to go through to enter the kingdom of God. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. In other words, there's going to be resistance against us entering the kingdom of God. There's going to be a fight to try and stop us from entering the kingdom of God. That's clear here, isn't it? There's a war. Through, you know, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. So in other words, there's going to be pressure against us. Now, Jesus said, you know, in the world, you'll have tribulation. So naturally, in the world, we're going to encounter trouble. That's going to be normal. Amen. But there's going to be times when that pressure is going to come against us because of our faith. Do you guys understand that? Because you know what? He says he exhorted them and they strengthened their souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Because that's what's going to carry us through. Our faith is what's going to carry us to the end. If you believe to the end, you will be saved. If you quit believing, things change. And people that have deconstructed their faith and have gone on and said, you know, I no longer believe in any of this, they're not saved anymore, if they were. Now, some people would argue that, no, you can't lose your salvation. You know, people that leave the church are actually people that were, you know, never really of us. You know, that's true. But there's more to it than that. And I keep running into those scriptures. And one of these days I'm going to teach on it, but I don't think it's a timely thing to do it. But there's a lot of scriptures that imply that there's more to this than, you know, that they're just not of us, you know. But you're going to face resistance entering the kingdom of God. So there's going to be tribulation that'll come to you that will be specifically designed to attack your faith. And that's why James says in James 1, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Of course, the word complete there is the word holokleros, and it means to be physically whole. So, you know, we've got to be willing to deal with this and let our faith get pushed against. Amen. Now, and that's to enter into the kingdom of God. Now I'm going to take a sideways off of this, if that's okay with you guys. Think about it this way. The kingdom of God, I believe it totally refers to heaven, you know, in eternity, kingdom of God. I have no problems with that. I wouldn't argue with anybody that came in and said, this is just talking about going to heaven. That's fine. I believe it. But Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in you. And when it comes to walking in kingdom, in the kingdom of God here in the earth, because we're called to it, there's no question about it. You know, we're part of it. It's in us. But we have to enter that. And when you look at what the word kingdom means here, it's the word basileia, and it means royalty. Abstractly, it means rule. Concretely, it means a realm. Now, when you enter into the kingdom of God, you're entering into the realm of God. You're entering into where he rules, where his laws are enforced, where his ways of doing things are enforced. Amen? And, you know, we're called seek first what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In the Greek, the literal Greek, the word his righteousness, the word his is a word that means, it can mean his, her, or its. It's a generic possessive pronoun. And you could actually translate that, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Because what's the subject of the sentence? Kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Amen. So we have a mandate on us to seek the kingdom of God. We have a mandate on us to walk in the kingdom of God. And what's really cool, I've been talking about this, I don't know for how long, but when you really start examining covenant, covenant is the manifestation of God's kingdom in your life. When you walk in covenant, you're starting to walk in the realm of God's kingdom. It's no longer just in you, it's beginning to come out of you and affect and influence the world around you. But understand, if you're going to do this, everything that revolves around what God has done for us, what he's given to us, what's been made for us, everything that's been done is part of that kingdom. And you're going to experience tribulation entering it. Now, I wish I would have known this when I was younger, because I got really frustrated at times because, man, I start believing God for something and it would be a lot of pressure suddenly on me. You know, it was just hard. You can ask Brian. I mean, they'll remember some of that. But if I would have understood that, you know what? It's a matter of continuing in the faith. And it's a matter of understanding that in order for me to walk in the things that God has for me, like the blessings of Abraham, redemption from the curse of the law, the promise of the Spirit, all of that is part of this. It's gonna activate pressure against you when you try to enter into it and walk in it. If you want to walk in the blessings of Abraham, you're going to experience some pressure against your faith. If you want to walk in the redemption of the curse of the law, you're going to feel some pressure, you know, pushing against your faith to try and stop you. So it's not just the typical pressure of the world that Jesus talks about. It's also relevant that, you know, that tribulation, that pressure comes from us trying and seeking to enter just what God has for us, his kingdom, and everything that means. And I just wanted to give you that take. I wanted to let you guys know that, hey, this stuff is normal. You know, going through the tribulation is normal. Don't sit here and look at it as being the tribulation. You know, I got to go through this major thing that, you know, I either renounce Christ or they cut my head off. It's not that. It's not the thing that destroys most people's faith. What destroys most people's faith is that constant day-to-day pressure to not believe. How many of you have experienced that?
Yep. Yeah. It's rough.
And you have to understand, in order for us to enter into these things and walk in them, we're going to have to continue in the faith. We're going to have to strengthen our souls. You know? Amen? Because that's what they did. They went back and they strengthened the souls of the disciples, especially the ones that just stood around him, didn't do anything. He didn't say nothing to them. He got up and walked back into the city. He didn't even know who they were, probably. He didn't even know if they were truly believers or not, man. He just looked at them and walked out. But he went back. He had to leave because, you know, I'm not getting stoned again. So he left, and then they came back, and they went through and strengthened the souls of the disciples, reestablishing what they had taught them and showing them that, hey, this stuff works. God's here. And then letting them know, you know what? We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. So if we're going to walk in the kingdom, if we're going to walk in God, amen, we got to be able to just take the pressure, not let it get us down.
So I know how, just, I think I already know the answer, but so God, like you said, has to be dynamic and stuff like that. So God will either see us learning or giving up. Or, I mean, like, he'll see us either, I don't want to say not trying, but like, he'll, like what you said, being competent. Being knowing.
That's, if you're learning, you're becoming competent.
Okay, okay, okay.
That's the whole point of that meaning, is that, you know, it says they made many disciples. They made disciples competent. You could say it like that. Okay. They taught the disciples and they became competent. All right. But, oh man, Jeff, you inspired something in that.
Sorry.
I forgot. I got caught up in that. But I think that's the key. The key is we got to strengthen, we got to become the learners. We've got to learn to strengthen our souls. Amen. And then we've got to learn to continue in the faith. All right. And then understand that this is part and parcel of the life that we're going to experience from, you know, anyway. People in the world that aren't even saved are going through hell and they don't even know what to do. They don't know they don't know where it's coming from. They're suffering too. You know, and we should be careful not to sit there and try and paint a picture of everything's going to be perfect. You know, that's not the case. He had to go back through. They had to come back through and straighten them out and let them understand, look, we got the victory. I'm back. I'm here. I'm okay. You guys get it together. Because that's what he had to do. They had to strengthen the souls. They had to, you know, they had to get it back together. Amen. And so on. Any questions? Sure. I'm done. I think that's more than enough.